Well, how are you doing with your possessions? If you're anything like me, you have a lot of them. Although, candidly, a lot of my possessions are out of sight and out of mind. This point was brought home to me recently as we dealt with a cascade of decisions and actions pertaining to a big burglary in our home. I was called on a Tuesday afternoon, middle of the day. And when I arrived at home, there was my wife's car along with the police car. And on entering the home, there they were trying to figure out who done it. It turns out that the boldness of these people, they took an old gargoyle, cement gargoyle that I had, came around the back of the house and smashed in the back door, and there was glass, shards of glass all over everything. In fact, as they went through every room in the house trying to take those things for their benefit, they were tracking glass. Well, the insurance company was dutiful, and we racked up about $20,000 worth of items to be replaced. And the surprising thing for me was that the insurance company sent in an adjuster to measure every carpet in the house because they were going to replace some of them due to the shards of glass that might destroy them over time. So it turned out that we had a lot of stuff, a lot of it hidden away, even in those walk-in closets, things we didn't know we even had. And the result of that was that in order to do the replacement, all these possessions had to be taken out of all the nooks and crannies and placed someplace else. What a job. Enter Jesus. Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in possessions. Oh yes, abundance of possessions. Take care, be on your guard. And to make this point, Jesus tells a tale of a man who had so much abundance in grain and goods that he had to tear down his barns and build new ones. The only thing left for him to do was to be relaxing, to eat, drink, and be merry. Now, a fundamental question for all of us here is, how much is enough? Clearly, we are embodied beings. We need things. And we know how our hearts go out to those in places like Syria. The picture of a man holding a daughter coming out of the rubble as a result of his home being bombed from above. And to move to another part of the country, we know that there are scores of people leaving all of their possessions behind in hopes of possessing perhaps a home someplace else. We know these pictures, they're hard to see. And clearly, these victims do not have enough. For those of us fortunate to have homes and goods and peace, however, we're simply stuck with making sense of Jesus' words about being on guard against all kinds of greed and to somehow figure out how to take to heart his warning that our life does not consist of our possessions. A few years ago, I was invited to be an interim in St. Louis, Missouri, to a very wealthy parish. And following the service, I went to Schnucks grocery store, driving there in my Mercedes. And as I pulled into the parking lot, there was a woman who was getting into her car to leave. And so as I got out and she got in, she looked at me with this rather shaming eye and said, "Father, a Mercedes?" Oh, my goodness sake, it was pretty clear she didn't think I should be driving one. So sometimes we have to think about what we own, not only from our own standpoint, but from the standpoint of others. When thinking about the question, how much is enough, I remember a quote from an article on the subject at hand, how much is enough. And there was one man who simply said, "How much is enough is just a little bit more than you now have." I think that's true. Unless, of course, you happen to be St. Francis, or you are at a place in your life in which you're trying to depossess yourself of goods, to make life a little more simple and perhaps a little easier for those who come after. Our tendency now is to do what we can to keep in line what we have in order to live with integrity. One way of thinking about what we have came from liberation theologian Leonardo Boff. And he said, "Jesus does not condemn things or possessions as such, but certain uses or reliances we make of them. Detachment from things, which means proper relationship to them, lies somewhere between their scorn and their affection." Well said. Another way of thinking about possessions is not only about what we have or should have, but also about our being possessed. We are to be possessed by God, and that's what truly counts, as we know from the last line in our gospel reading today. The concern, the deep concern that we all have, is to be rich toward God. And how can we do that? That is a spiritual challenge that we all have. Being rich, as I say, means being possessed by God, because God wants to possess us. And as we read in our reading from Hosea, God eagerly, urgently, longingly, frustratingly wants people to belong to him. And our tendency, perhaps like those that Hosea is referring to, is to drift away from God. But God will not have it. "The more I called them, the more they went from me." Yet, and that's the real crucial word here, "yet I took them up into my arms. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to the cheek. I bent down to them and I fed them." Yes, God wants to draw near, to possess us with his communal love. The love, as someone challengingly pointed out, the love that makes it possible for those who would not otherwise come together, make it possible for those of us all to be in love and have affection with one another. Being rich toward God means being possessed by a generous spirit. In our liturgical collect for the day, we pray for the church, that it may be cleansed and defended and protected and governed by God, that God will bring to us health in our governance, in our common life, that the Spirit will instill within us a kind of affection for one another that transports us to places that we might not otherwise go. And so we come together on this day. We are the assembly. And as Gordon Lathrop, a Lutheran liturgical scholar points out, that is the assembly what is most important. Without the assembly to come together to hear God's word, to pray for the world, and to gather around the table, there is nothing to this church except a museum. Now, clearly, here in my visitations, in my knowing some members of the congregation and your rector, you are more than about possessing things. But you are about that, because I visited downstairs last week. And you have gained a lot in possessions down there. And it's wonderful. With your renewal project, you have done just enough, it would appear, enough to add ease and dimension and a welcoming spirit to any who would come here. So I say to you, congratulations for what you have done. By adding your possessions, you are giving witness to your generosity and love for the church, and it looks to me like you are trying to be rich toward God.